Hello there. This is Eric Sinrod from Duane Morris. This is your weekly Tech Law 10, where Jonathan Armstrong, my colleague at Quartery over in the UK, and I bring you all things tech and law. And this week, Jonathan, you've been thinking about BYOD. Talk to us.
Yes, I have. Thanks very much, Eric. I was at an event last week with Absolute, the Canadian software company, and it was quite a fascinating event in many respects, but we had quite an advanced discussion about BYOD, or bring your own device. Now, as a refresh for those not familiar with the term, effectively, I imagine about 6 or 7 years ago, there started to be a trend for major corporations particularly to reduce the size of their own device estate, so which I mean desktop computers, laptops, etc., back in those days, and to allow individuals to bring their own laptop of choice or whatever to work. Obviously, BYOD has become more popular in the intervening time, partly because devices have got more portable, so people are now connecting into aspects of the corporate network, at least over an iPad or an iPhone. Other non-Apple devices are, of course, available. And in some respects, that's revolutionized some corporate IT departments. But I think one of the interesting things that I'm seeing is that whilst BYOD was somewhat flavor of the month, there are at least some reticences now, and even some organizations moving back to company-owned devices rather than a BYOD environment. And I think it presents all sorts of challenges for organizations as a result. So if you look in areas like security, then obviously the perimeter for most organizations has changed. And my daughter and I wrote an article on this for a cybersecurity journal recently. I think one of the real challenges is, if you like, a little bit like the Roman wall, if you're familiar with that instrument. And what used to happen is, in the days of the Roman Empire, the Romans built a wall at the northern border, and the idea was to keep the Scottish out. But they realized that actually they, over time, the gates to this wall were left open, and the Scottish could walk freely on either side of the wall. So what was the Romans' first line of defense if it wasn't the wall? Well, the first line of defense was the individuals involved. So you had to train them, and you had to build in a thought of security with those individuals. Obviously challenging, because they themselves were also an occupied people. I guess they, as in we, the British. And in some respects, that's a little bit like the BYOD environment, that because the company has given up its perimeter, its firewall, and the ownership of its devices, then there are all sorts of security challenges. But in addition, it's become more challenging to manage devices as well, because whilst the idea is that you say to an employee, bring in whatever you like, and we will make it work on the network, sometimes that's not entirely possible. And also, some of our employees don't have the same technology skills as the guys in the IT team. So when they, you know, when they get a blank screen and their computer's crashed, whilst we might say that they shouldn't ring the corporate IT team, they do. And so for some corporations, they've found the cost of maintaining devices that could come in all shapes and sizes have been prohibitive. And then the third emerging trend, I think, that I'm seeing is employees kicking back. And I think you've talked about it before in terms of holiday/vacation time. But we're starting to see that become on the agenda of works councils, for example, these employee representative bodies that we get across Europe. So one major multinational now has an agreement with its works council that it will not serve emails to employees out of their contracted hours. So if I work in Frankfurt, and I go home at 5 o'clock, then my emails stop at 5 o'clock. And if my contracted hours are that I start at 8 o'clock the next morning, then my emails start again at 8 o'clock the next morning. And we've even a legislative proposal in France which will effectively seek to outlaw an employer contacting an employee outside their contracted hours. In addition, we've all sorts of similar type ramifications. You know, in Europe, in the EU, there's a maximum number of hours you can work in any one week, and some people are arguing that making an employee answer emails outside of their contracted working hours also breaches the working legislation. And in other jurisdictions, it's been argued that giving the employee an incentive to provide their own device is something that should be taxed, because the employer should provide the tools of a worker's trade, rather than expect the employee to provide them. So there are all sorts of legal ramifications there as well. So my point being that what started as a very simple concept maybe 6 or 7 years ago to reduce the number of devices corporations had has actually become quite a complex system to make work in Europe, partly because of the complexities of our law, but partly because of the greater security threats we face than we did 6 or 7 years ago, and how bad actors are trying to exploit those security vulnerabilities that we have. And I wondered if you were seeing similar trends across the pond there, Eric.
Oh, my. So much that we can say. First of all, how dare you bring up the concept of a wall? You're telling me that a wall doesn't work? Well, I need to put you in touch with one of our presidential candidates and let him know that his wall idea is not such a good one. In fact, speaking of Donald Trump,
I believe he's flying over my house as we speak, actually. I believe he's flying over my house as we speak. I think he's due in Scotland in a couple of hours.
Well, you could probably see his orange hair up there in the sky. But I wrote my week, speaking of the Donald, I wrote my blog this week about how there's a new Pokemon character that looks remarkably like him. It's a mongoose with his face. Can you believe that? Did you know that, Jonathan?
I did not know that. I shall be looking in various mongoose-related fan sites as soon as we've finished.
I know you will. And, you know, this idea, by the way, that you bring up that, you know, it potentially is illegal to have employees responding to work emails after hours, I think that's a difficult one to enforce, because sometimes the employees themselves will initiate the email thread, and then the employer or the manager might respond, and now the next thing you know, they're having an email colloquy. That's a hard one. But, you know, you bring up this whole concept of devices, and, you know, Jonathan and I talked before we actually started this particular Tech Law 10, and I mentioned that I'd go a little bit off topic, a little bit, and bring up, you know, what can happen when devices aren't used properly. And I just yesterday saw the documentary called Wiener. There was a congressman from New York by the name of Anthony Wiener, and he was actually rising, pardon these words, but he was actually ascending, shall we say, in terms of his power in Congress. And then it was revealed, I just can't use these words, that he had engaged in some sexting with at least several women. The first one was a photograph. Well, I won't go into any details, but he was taking photographs of themselves. Some were more revealing than others. And in 2011, he resigned from Congress. But then in 2013, he decided to mount a campaign to run for mayor of New York City. And initially, he was ahead in the polls, and then new allegations came out that he had engaged in further sexting using his handheld device. In fact, if you look at the documentary, it almost seems like he was entrapped because the woman in particular who he was sexting with, she first was revealing herself and was requesting him to do the same in turn, and he was vulnerable to that, shall we say. Long story short, he did not win. He only got 4% of the vote for mayor. He has a wife who was a close advisor to Hillary Clinton, and apparently news reports said that she was requesting Anthony Weiner's wife, drop him as a husband if she were to go work on the Hillary campaign, which is kind of interesting when you think about it. There's a little bit of a double standard there because Hillary obviously stuck by Bill Clinton, and ultimately it was shown that Bill Clinton actually had sexual relations with his subordinate, his young intern in the White House, whereas here Anthony Weiner was never even physically present with the women he was sexting. So there's some interesting morals to this story.
Sorry to interrupt, but in some respects, one of Anthony Weiner's errors was his not understanding how technology worked, which is equally something that could be levied at Hillary's door as well.
Yeah, well, that's for sure. but there's some interesting lessons to all of this. I mean, what are they? I mean, first of all, this documentary was actually, in some ways, follows Weiner around as he, runs for mayor and all these allegations come out. And it really does sort of show him to be completely tone deaf toward his wife and how all this is affecting her, how very much of a narcissist he was. And he really just wasn't getting it. And he was, he was his own Achilles heel. But, in some ways, if you look at it, it makes me sad, too, because he engaged in some aberrant behavior briefly. Like I say, he never was even physically present with these women. And then it was a feeding frenzy by the press, and it was so sensationalist, and it ultimately was his undoing. And I think it's just a sad commentary all around. But bringing it back to devices, we really do need to understand them. We do need to use them appropriately. There are risks whether you go BYOD or not. But anyway, I just saw this documentary yesterday. It was fresh in my mind, and I just wanted to share that.
Now, I saw, actually, I think he did a sort of, I believe he may have a book out as well to accompany it. And I know that I was in a hotel room in a strange part of Europe recently, and he actually came on the TV there talking about it. And I agree with you. It's a sort of fascinating story. Almost the impression I got, though, I don't know about you, Eric, is he's a man who felt, I'm going to fall into the dual entendre trap as well. I was going to say hard done by, but he's a man who felt that he was somehow the victim in all of this, and didn't show a lot of contrition in the interview I saw with him, which didn't exactly endear him to the viewer. But
there was only one moment in the entire documentary where he actually seemed to have some sincere reflection, and in that he said, perhaps it's sort of the nature of the beast as a politician. We want to have many, many, many superficial relationships, but this takes a toll on our close relationships, like his wife, like his young son. And now, of course, with these devices and social media, you can have so many superficial relationships, and if you misbehave in any particular one and that person wants to go public, that can be the end of your career.
Yes, no, interesting, and I watched it as well and thought it was a fascinating thing, or at least the interview I saw.
Yeah.
And congratulations, Eric, for mentioning not only the word double standards, but I think truly the most double entendres in one small section that we've ever had in all of our 170-odd podcasts. I mean, they were absolutely rammed tight in there, weren't they?
My word. I'm going to stop there. But I think we're on 176 or 177 right now, so we've been going strong. So anyway, this has been your Tech Law 10 on BYOD and on the downfall of Anthony Weiner in terms of how he used his particular device. There we go again, right? So I'm Eric Sinrod at Dwayne Morris. My email address is ejsinrod@dwaynemorris.com. You can find both of us on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. I'm maybe missing some. I turn it back to Jonathan to wrap this all up.
Thanks very much, Eric, and thanks for listening. I'm Jonathan Armstrong, jonathan.armstrong@cordrycompliance.com, and we'll post this as usual in LinkedIn, as Eric said. We'd welcome your comments on this or any other topic, and suggestions for what to speak about next week are always welcome. We know we have one outstanding to somebody who kindly sent us it, and apologies to her. We will get round to it. But do engage with us. Let us know what you think on this or any other topic. And obviously next week we'll be reporting on Ambassador Trump's visit to the UK. Meantime, thanks for listening, and we'll speak soon.
Okay, we've now consummated this particular podcast. Cheers.